Welcome back to our mini-series, Wrongful Conviction with Jason Flom in the Time of COVID. You know, COVID-19 has wreaked havoc across the globe. Countless lives have already been lost. There's unprecedented worldwide economic devastation, and the internet is full of misinformation that has so many people in disagreement about what is real and what's the best path back to normalcy. And why do so many plans seem to involve callously risking or even losing so many more lives? All of this while we're living with restricted movement, isolation, and economic anxiety, to say the least. With so many ethical and philosophical questions looming in the zeitgeist, I can't think of a better member of our wrongfully convicted community to guide us through this tough time. So this week, we'll talk to a man who, along with four other young teenage boys, was vilified and demonized in the media. Donald Trump infamously and wrongly took out full-page ads in the newspaper back then to call for the reinstatement of the death penalty just so these kids could be executed for a crime they didn't commit. They were barely teenagers when they were lied to by authorities and pitted against each other to give false confessions, and ultimately they were sentenced to many long years behind bars, only to have about a decade later the man who committed the horrific crime at the center of the media and law enforcement circus, Matias Reyes, confess, thereby clearing the names once and for all of the Central Park Five, now known as the Exonerated Five. Now, he tells us about how community, living in his mind, doing things that add value to his life and the life of others, realizing his purpose through the pain, and his underlying faith were and are the keys to his survival. You can hear his story of triumph over tragedy in episode 8 of season 6, as well as in the interview with one of his co-defendants, Raymond Santana, in the very first episode of season 1 of this podcast. His story is told in the Netflix documentary series When They See Us, and he's the author of Words of a Man, as well as being a prolific public speaker. I'm very proud to call him my friend, Dr. Yusuf Salam, on coping in the time of COVID.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Today we have a doctor in the house, a wrongfully convicted man named Dr. Yusuf Salam, and welcome back.
Oh, it is absolutely a pleasure. Thank you for having me again.
Well, it's been a whirlwind since we last spoke, aside from the world going completely haywire and this, coronavirus taking over the news and our consciousness and How are you and your family doing right now?
Everybody's actually okay. So we're in different places in the country, of course. Some in the South, some in the West Coast. A lot in New York, where the epicenter is. Hopefully, things are beginning to subside a bit. I've definitely lost some people that I know. It's a very scary time as well. Yeah, but we just got to hold on to the faith that we have, so that we know that we won't leave here until our mission is complete. And I think that that's the most important thing.
And speaking of your mission, since you appeared on the show, of course, the incredible documentary about the Central Park Five, When They See Us, was released to great critical acclaim, as well as to, I think, a wonderful response from the audience. So how has that changed your life, if it has?
You know, it's been a dramatic upshift in the attention that we have, and also the platform that we have in the world in terms of global recognition. People always reach out to us for support. It's been great to find purpose through the pain. Since the movie has been made, you look at our social media, for one, we went from probably under 10,000 followers, all of us, to over 300,000 followers for most of us. And of course, you look at Corey Wise's following, and he's over 500,000 people. It's tremendous. That reach is great. And it's a blessing for us, of course, because we do have something to say. We do have something to share, you know, especially when it comes to, you know, human rights as it relates to prisoners. And, you know, especially now in the age of COVID-19, as it relates to prisoners as well.
And are you in touch with the other guys, and how are they holding up during this crisis?
Yeah, we've been in touch. Everybody's holding up as best they can. I know Raymond's fiance's father had went through a bout of COVID-19, came out on the other end, and that's always a great thing to have survived. You know, just a side note, Raymond's newfound love and life is encouraging. You just look at the peace and happiness in his face.
Oh, yeah. I see him on Instagram, and he looks like he's on top of the world. You know, he's got that. He looks like he's in love, and that makes me very,
yeah,
very happy. You know?
Yes, indeed.
So I want to talk about the current situation, because people are experiencing this crisis in different ways. The people who are sheltering at home, who are quarantining, some have a large family, some are all alone, some are in very small apartments or houses. They're not used to this. It's very frustrating for them. But you've been through hell. Like, you've literally been to hell as a young teenage, basically child. You were wrongfully convicted and thrust into an environment that was cramped, dirty, hostile, noisy, dangerous, violent. But somehow or other, you persevered. And I believe that there are lessons that you can share with us, I'm hoping, that can help everyone, including me, to, you know, work through this, you know, indefinite period of time that we're all stuck in together, and you know, and come out better.
I definitely can appreciate that. You know, what I did to maintain my sanity was I began to live in my mind more than in what was going on around me. And this allowed my mind to remain free, as opposed to me being completely in bondage. There was a lot of meditation that I was involved in. There was a lot of planning on paper. There was a lot of visualizing. You know, one of the things that we have to all come to grips with is that once we come out of this, it is going to be a brand new world. It's not that we were the only ones that had experienced this, right? This is a global phenomenon. And so as a result of that, I think it's important that we look at things like, how do we keep our minds mentally exercised? And I think that that's by reading books, of course. I think that's by listening to Audible and things of that nature. Don't just pass the time doing nothing. You know, I was thinking about all of the essential workers and essential places that they kept saying were open. And of course, we had the liquor stores. And, you know, for those people that partake, I'm not necessarily down on them or saying anything bad about them, but we can't just, as I would say, when I first won my lawsuit, they ran up to me and said, "Hey, what are you going to do now?" And I said, "Well, I'm not going to be sitting on a beach sipping Mai Tais. This is now allowing me to jump fully into the fight, to be a full participant in the freedom, justice, and the humanity of us as a people." And a lot of that happens in your mind. It happens as you plan your work, as you realize that you are born on purpose and you have value and you have something to give. And we just have to take that faith and begin to massage it into our everyday, whether that means that we're going to just start exercising. If that just means one sit-up a day, we are better than we were yesterday, because that's how it is. That's how we have to put one foot in front of the other. We have to live in our future, because if I didn't live in my future, I could have never become the person that I was to become. I could have never had that hope that one day I'll be out of here and I'll be a free person and the truth is going to come out and I'll be able to utilize my story to transform the world.
I'm still trying to understand how you went from a kid with hopes and dreams, going to the park, playing ball, doing whatever it is that kids do. And one day, all of a sudden, you're one of the most hated people. And then, moreover, you end up in this prison cell. Everything overnight changed for you, and you had to really become a man overnight in a situation no child should ever find themselves in. And you talk about meditation and books and things like that, but let's go back to the first day you're in this cell. How did you find that inner strength, that extra gear that allowed you to become a meditator, that allowed you to read in the, amidst all the chaos and the noise and the things like that?
Well, I got to tell you, it wasn't necessarily just me. It was definitely a community. It was that community that raises the child, those people that I had in my circle that would write me and encourage me. You know, it was those letters from my grandmother that would be addressed to this person named Master Yusuf Salam. My grandmother was trying to supercharge me. She was trying to get me to think differently. She was telling me, by me reading these words, Master Yusuf Salam, that I'm a master of my fate. You know, people telling me to be still and listen. People telling me to utilize this time to try to find out the why. Because once you find the why, you can live anyhow, as Nietzsche says. And I think part of that philosophical reality began to take shape when I was asked the question early on in my prison bid. 6 months in, the officer walks up to me after he's been observing me for all of this time, and he had one question for me. His question was, who are you? And I'm thinking that I understand what this question means, and I say, I'm Yusuf Salam, one of the guys that they accused of raping a Central Park jogger, but I didn't do it. And I realize from his response that I had answered him incorrectly, because he said, who are you? And he said, no, I know that. He said, I've been watching you. You're not supposed to be here. Why are you here? Who are you? And it was like a jump start. It was like a Matrix, a Neo Morpheus moment where I'm like, hold on. Like, what am I? What, like, I know I'm not guilty of this crime. So why am I here? What is it that I'm supposed to go through? What is it that I'm supposed to grow through? So when I come out on the other end, I'll come out a person better, stronger for all that I had gone through. And so first day in prison, of course, was fight. How do you fight? And so I'm thinking, man, I'm hearing the words. I'm hearing people yelling out. I'm hearing people telling us that they're going to kill us. And I start shadow boxing. And imagine, I was growing up and my mother sent me and my sister and brother to learn martial arts. There were two top instructors in New York City at the time. One was a gentleman named Master Little John Davis. The other one was Dr. Moses Powell. I happened to be trained by Master Little John Davis. And the way that they trained us, it was rigorous. It wasn't, you know, okay, we're going to cut the board and you're going to punch the board and be surprised that you broke the board because we pre-cut it. No, we had to punch boards that had no cuts in it. And it hurt our hands. We had to do push-ups on the ground. We had to spar with people who were older than us and bigger than us. And it wasn't something that I realized until I got to prison that they were training us for real life. They were training us to survive. They were training us to be our ancestors' wildest dreams, to not succumb to the pressures. It's a common known fact in the Black and Brown communities where people say, oh yeah, we're going to be dead or in jail before we reach the age of 21. And those of us who became known as the Exonerated Five did not escape that. And the great thing about it is that we were able to take these lemons that life gave us and make some lemonade out of it.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach, Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Are there any particular books that have helped you either while you were in prison or since you've been out or even now that you're experiencing a very different type of lockdown that you could share with us that you think might be helpful to other people?
Man, it's crazy because, of course, we are a few days into Ramadan, and I'm a Muslim, I'm a practicing Muslim, and I'm fasting. And what gets me all the time around this time of the year is that we have to reorient ourselves to our scripture, which is the Quran. And I'm saying that because people of faith, even if they're not Muslims, can reorient themselves to their scripture, the Torah, the Bible, any spiritual book that allows them to reconnect with the Creator. My grounding force has always been books of scripture. I've read the Bible, I've read the Quran, and I found tremendous value in that. And I read other things besides that. Like I've read a lot of books about the Black experience. And one of the things I've found is that there's a shift that happens when you understand the Black experience, but couple it with humanity. Then you don't get stuck in a way that is detrimental, because all of us are human beings. Once you start going into a one-sided reality, it begins to become problematic and challenging, because we live on this planet with the rest of us, you know? I try to read books that make sense. You know, of course, The People's History by Howard Zinn is an important book. The Destruction of the Black Civilization by Chancellor Williams is another important book. But it all goes back to reading. We shouldn't consume our time with just doing stuff that doesn't add value to ourselves.
You have certainly become a really incredible example of what is possible and how to overcome, the worst that life can throw at you. It was so impactful for me to hear what you talk about, the guard saying, "Who are you?" I learned from Deepak Chopra to ask myself the same question. And I learned that, you know, when we normally think of that, who are you? I'm a record executive. I'm a podcast host. I'm a father. I'm a this, I'm a that. Everything can be taken away from you, right?
Yes. So what happens when you're stripped of everything, right? That happened to us very, very early in our lives. And I think when I delve into the depths of what that means, the horror of it, right? If you think about every child who is born is blessed with the ability to be a child, is blessed with the naivety of what life has to offer, the dreaming. We all have that desire to be something and someone and to add value and to be valuable. And it may not be as deep as that sounds. We want to have a good life. But what happens when everything is stripped away from you? There's a prayer that Muslims pray. In Arabic, it says, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. And what it means in English is, to God, we're saying, you alone do we worship, and you alone do we ask for help. Everything that we have been given is because of the Creator. And it's a disservice to us when we don't give God or the Creator its due, because then we honor God, and then we're blessed with more. You know, they always talk about, like, how do you get more money? By giving it away. You know, it's a concept that is kind of aloof from people who don't have money, who need money. Because it's like, how do I give money away? Like, I need money. Like, I need money to survive. But once you find out that charity increases your wealth, and it increases your spiritual wealth as well, you feel better. And especially if you give more than what you thought you would have given, it begins to feed you and nourish you in a way that you could not have been fed or nourished any other way. And I think that that's the part that's important. The secret is being able to plug back into the source. There's been a challenge, I think, all along in our lives where we're trying to figure out, why are we here? What are we supposed to do with our lives? And there's those of us who have kind of come close to it, who've kind of figured something out. They're using it to push forward in life and add value to life and also add value to others. And I think that that's the part that's important, being able to share your life in such a way where it's no longer about you, but it's about who else can listen and become enlightened by what it is that you've gone through. Because if you were able to survive it, they can survive it too. If I went to prison, and I don't say this to impress anyone, but rather to impress upon people that if I went to prison and got a college degree, we can do anything. People who are looking for a job, who are trying to figure out a way out of no way, they have time now to use their minds in a way that they've never used their minds before and create solutions to some of the problems that we have. And some of those solutions are going to yield enormous, enormous value. And even if that means that you have to go back to a normal 9-to-5, you can return to the normal 9-to-5 knowing that there's something more valuable that you can contribute if you haven't been doing your best. But if you've been doing your best, then you know that that's all you can do. Once I plug in and say, I'm going to do my best, I can go into a space that may say, hey, we only have a dollar to give you. I'm going to give them a $2 million speech. And it helps me. It has value and purpose to me and allows me to become better and to show up in spaces more plugged in, more dynamic, more willing to serve, because it's about the service. That's what it's all about.
No, I'm with you too. It's interesting. I'm not a religious person, but I feel like there is no greater joy than in being able to lift somebody else up. You've certainly found your gift for doing that, which is awesome and great to see. And I know that it's going to have an impact on people in our audience who are feeling frustrated. But I have to ask, there must have been moments when you felt bitter, anger, a why me type of feeling. Was there a darkest moment that you can recall from all those many years you spent in prison?
You know, I think it all was dark. And I think that the light that I found in the darkness was when I remembered. Once I began to get nervous, then it got more dark. But once I remembered that I was going through this, or rather, I was growing through this, then it all made sense. Then I could see the light illuminating more. But if I let the darkness consume what I was growing through, I would have never been able to survive.
You dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're a father many times over now, and that's got to pose particular challenges, I would think, with people going stir crazy in the house, not being able to go out to school and do other things the kids are used to doing. So I'm interested in your perspective, because a lot of other people are going through the same thing. And can you share any, is there a funny story or anything else from this experience of being stuck at home with the kids?
You know, so I think the funniest story of being stuck at home with the children are finding ways to start, like to not go stir crazy. I mean, children are up all times of the day, all times of the night. They're doing all kinds of funny, cool things. You know, we have these amazing moments all the time where either my eldest daughter in the house now, who's 11, she's developing her ability to really become a great artist. And she's drawing these beautiful pieces of artwork. I mean, it blows my mind because, of course, the other children are just maturing. And I'm here, you know, I'm usually on the road a lot and I'm usually sharing with the rest of the world. And so now I have this opportunity to be at home, to be a father, to be hands-on, and to see the growth and development that happens with children all the time. And I think that that's something that you don't want to miss. There's a value in that, that you really want to be able to participate in and be able to witness and to see. And then, of course, I have older children who are in New York. And to share with them and to talk with them mentally, they are on a whole nother level. I'm still seeing them as my babies, but they're adults. They're on the cusp of being adults. And of course, being able to share with them some of my wisdom and insights adds value to what they're going through.
Yeah, I guess that comes back to something that someone reminds me of frequently, which is when I say, oh, I have to go do something. It's like, no, you get to go do whatever it is. You don't have to do it, right? So it's really just sometimes changing one word can change your whole perspective. And I appreciate you reminding me of that. So this is the part of the show that our listeners are familiar with and that I think they appreciate and enjoy probably as much as any part of the show. I know I do. So I want to again thank our very special guest today, Dr. Yusuf Salam. I'd like to turn it over to you for what I call words of wisdom. So thanks again. I'm going to kick back and just listen to what you have to say.
Yeah, man. I'm just honored to be here, honored to be alive and to be able to share. And one of the things I want to give people is the idea of never giving up, trying to do the best that you can, especially now. And I think most important, to reinvent yourself. When we show up in this new world in the next few months, the next few weeks, I think we want to show up our best selves. And I want to say that kind of like emphatically, if we can put our best foot forward, become our best selves, then that's where we can really gain the true benefit from life. And that's what it's all about, being able to be here and say that we mattered. We don't want to leave this world without a trace, as my good friend Les Brown says. We want to be able to, at the end of our lives, be able to look back and say, everything that we were supposed to do, we were able to do it. Every idea that came to our minds, we gave birth to it. We don't want to be on our deathbeds when all of the hopes, dreams, and aspirations are looking at us and knowing that they're going to die with us because we didn't give it life. The best thing that we can do is give life to not only things that come to us and the value that we can add, but give life and allow our lives to show other people how to participate fully in their lives. We don't want to be on the sidelines looking at other people's lives anymore. We have to participate.
Wow, that was awesome. I really hope you got as much out of it as I did, because every time I hear Dr. Salaam speak, the perspective, the grace, the optimism of a man who has been to hell and back, who was sent to prison, to some of the roughest prisons in the country as a young teenager, and who took the opportunity to find himself as opposed to collapsing or acting out, and emerged stronger, better, and now is really just a beacon of light in an otherwise very dark a time that we find ourselves in. So, yeah, Dr. Yusuf Salaam, the only word I can think of for you is hero. And now I want to end by saying thank you to our first responders, the healthcare providers, all the essential workers, cleaning people, everyone who's doing their best to help keep our society going. And I want to also shout out the people who are working in our courts through this difficult time, the public defenders, the defense attorneys, and others who are, they're going to work, and they're putting on their masks and their gloves, and they're out there doing their level best. So many who could be phoning it in are out there fighting for their clients. So props to you as well. In the meantime, I hope you've been listening to Laura Nyreiter and Steve Drizin as they enlighten us on their podcast, False Confessions. They have two more amazing episodes left before the start of our new season of Wrongful Conviction with Jason Flom. I hope you've taken some of the priceless wisdom from our wrongfully convicted community to heart. It all was not easily earned. I mean, this was the hardest possible way they earned this wisdom, these unbelievable people sharing their thoughts. This is the last episode of our mini-series as we focus our efforts on the upcoming season. So keep staying safe, and thank you for joining us for an alternative perspective on living in the time of COVID. Don't forget to give us a fantastic review wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps. And I'm a proud donor to the Innocence Project, and I really hope you'll join me in supporting this very important cause and helping to prevent future wrongful convictions. Go to innocenceproject.org to learn how to donate and get involved. I'd like to thank our production team, Connor Hall and Kevin Wardis. The music in the show is by 3-time Oscar-nominated composer Jay Ralph. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Wrongful Conviction and on Facebook at Wrongful Conviction Podcast. Wrongful Conviction with Jason Flom is a production of Lava for Good Podcasts in association with Signal Company Number 1.
You dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.